It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Both of us have had some espresso, so buckle up, everybody. It's going to be a fun ride. Welcome in, Coffee Country and Cody on WSM. For all of you watching and joining in right now on our streaming platforms, we look good today. We have on, like, some coordinating colors. Mine is, like, a tomato orange. You have on that sky blue. You've got your espresso in the jar.
I was
going
to say, I get a daily fix from the Sutton household.
It is espresso.
Does Paul wonder what you're doing every morning?
No, he said this morning, he goes, shot for Charlie. I said, yep, that's it.
I think I'm about hooked. Now it's going to be like $4 a jar starting next week.
I'm going to start sending in my Venmo pretty soon. Like, hey, you know, a little something, something. Oh, no, it is caffeine morning. We've got plenty of it.
We are very spring-like today.
I like it. Yeah, it feels good. Mm-hmm. Bill's taking the day off. We've got Annie Nye in the back running everything. Aaron Cooper taking some time off as well. And then, hey, there's Jeff Roberts. I see him in Master Control. He just pushed the button. So now we're streaming. Peacock, Circle Now. You can also find us. CircleCountry.com is the easiest place
to find us. Stream us live on their website, too. Yep,
like
absolutely.
So make sure that you tune in because we look good today. We're also talking about all things coming up in entertainment headlines. So many bars that are downtown. One closed, one's opening. Who's going to be behind it all? Mm-hmm. We've got that coming up for you in just a little bit. Plus, a brand new benefit that Miranda Lambert has signed on to do, how you can get tickets to watch her perform and help our furry friends in need. I feel like that is such a win-win. We've got that coming up. And in case you missed it the first time around, Megan Barker, she came by to see us in the studio. We're going to encore that performance and her interview coming up in just a little bit. It's a good morning. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. So hang out with us. One question that I posed on social media yesterday, and I would love to pose it to everybody who is watching and listening this morning. Who is the artist and or band that you have seen live the most?
Oh, that's easy for me.
Is it?
Because I'm a ticket stub person, and I'm an only child, so I keep track of these kind of things.
Okay.
Yeah. 14 times Mary Chapin Carpenter, 13 times Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, those are some good numbers.
And then I think 11 Steve Earle.
Okay.
Yes.
Steve Earle, I like
it. I know,
it's
quite the...
That is not what I expected.
No, when I first... I was a little nervous interviewing him for the first time, because I think he's like super, like
he's
genius bright,
level,
right?
Sure, sure.
So like, you don't want to ask stupid questions. But I won him over immediately by saying, you know you're a fan of someone when you can tell them all the places you've seen them that don't exist anymore. And I ran through this litany of... And he just started laughing. He goes, yep, gone. Close that place down. Yep. So it was pretty funny.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, let us know if you want to join in on the conversation. You can find me on Instagram, any of the socials, on Facebook, The Kelly Sutton. So who have you seen the most live? Well, we're hanging out this morning talking about entertainment headlines. The first one that came across my desk was Music for Mutts. I mean, both of my favorite things all together in one. Thank you, Miranda Lambert. She's going to be doing this at the Ascend Amphitheater. It's the first one that she's done. So we're saying first ever or inaugural.
But not first annual.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because there's no such thing. So Music for Mutts benefit concert. It's going to raise money for her Mutt Nation Foundation. She founded this back in 2009 with her mom, Bev. It's going to be happening October the 5th, Nashville's Ascend Amphitheater. Miranda is headlining the concert. Don't know who else is on the lineup just yet, but you know it's going to be a lot of her friends. They're going to be hanging out. If you want tickets, information, you can find it all on her website. They go on sale this Friday. She said, I'm just going to have an adoption event, lots of other activities, make it a big old party. I hope everyone will come out and party with us. So I think there might be dogs up for adoption on site.
Aww.
I know. Yeah. That's the risk I run when I go to anything where there are dogs up for adoption. I just want to buy one and take one home. I'll take that one.
Yeah.
I'll take that one. That's how I got my dog.
Wicket.
He was Wicket. He was Pet of the Week on the TV show.
Oh, and you just kept him?
Yeah.
Aw.
I actually had a day where Reese came to work with me. It was not bring your daughter to work day, but it was one of those days where I didn't have a choice. Something was up. They were out of school.
Yes.
So she was with me that day, and we always do Pets of the Week. It was on Tuesdays, and our friend Kenneth from the Nashville Humane Association was there, and he brought this little puppy in, and he was so cute. And I was holding him, and then after the segment was over, I look over, and he is handing the dog to my daughter, who's standing behind the camera, and she's holding him and looking at me like, Mom. This puppy, and we had just lost our two.
Aww.
So it had been a year. I was like, we need to just give ourselves some time. And at that point, it was so funny. I should go back and see if I still have the text thread. So I'm texting Paul. I think I'm going to get this dog. Are you watching? Have you seen this dog? I think I'm going to bring this dog home. Reese is in love with this dog.
And there's no responses
there's
to any
no
of
responses
these.
To any of these.
Right. We're on our way home.
I'm driving to Nashville Humane. Seriously, I'm here. Okay, they're putting the dog in the car. I'm coming home with this dog. You are not answering me, so this dog is now ours. I pull in.
I would have loved to have seen his reaction reading the entire novel. I was like, okay.
Well. There was just no response. So I pull in to the house. He opens the garage door and is standing in the garage. And I open the door, and he jumps out and runs straight to Paul.
Aww.
And Paul just looks at me, and I'm like, he loves you. And he's been with us ever since. So, yeah, I can get myself into trouble if I go somewhere where there are dogs.
So when do tickets on sale again?
Friday.
Friday, okay.
At 10. May the 10th.
Oh, same with the Roots and Boots show.
Yes, the Roots and Boots show. Excellent. That's exactly right.
Okay,
so Miranda has a new song out called Wranglers, and here's what she had to say about it. Take a listen.
Y'all, my new song, Wranglers, is about getting revenge the very best way you know how. Burning it down. She set it all on fire. And if there's one thing that she
learned, Wranglers take forever to burn. Okay, come on in here, kerosene. Come on in here, gunpowder and lead. Burning it down. Miranda's back. She's got something that's just perfect for her brand. Burn it down. It takes a long time for Wranglers to burn. I wore mine. I'm not going to burn mine anytime soon. Russell Dickerson has a complete opposite of that. This is a good day to have a great day. It's a song that he just released, and he said, you know, it's just about being positive and feeling all the good vibes. I mean, going into summer, that is such a perfect song. And it's very funny. You need to look at some of the things that he posts on social media because there are some funny pictures that are going along with this. He's actually going to hit the road with Sam Hunt on Sam's Locked Up Tour. For a full list of dates, if you want to get tickets to go see that, it's easy to find. It's on Russell's website. Good day to have a great day. And last but not least, if you want to go see our friend Luke Bryan out on the farm, he's doing it again. The farm tour, 15th farm tour that he has hosted. So he finds some family farms and he sets up camp and basically does a big old field party out in the middle of nowhere, and the money goes to help farmers in those different local places. He's got shows that are coming up in North Carolina, Shelbyville, Kentucky, Millersport, Ohio, Smithton, Pennsylvania. This is all going to be in September. He's going to have Connor Smith, Tucker Wetmore, and the Peach Pickers, which is Red Akins, Dallas Davidson, and Ben Haneslip with him on the bill. So get tickets because they do go fast. I have been to one of his farm tour stops, and let me tell you, it's really, really fun because it's a Luke Bryan show, but in a outdoor fun setting and not as many people, and it's just a really good time. And I appreciate the fact that the money goes to help the farmers. Hang with us, everybody. We got more still to come right here on Coffee Country. And Cody, I see him. He's standing outside. We're going to let him in. It's Ira Dean. He's going to be in the studio with us coming up in just a few.
More Coffee Country and Cody is on WSM.
I love catching up with somebody that I have not seen in a minute. And in, I think, probably 5 years, it's been Ira Dean.
I've
it is
hiding.
Good to see you. Where have you been?
I've been hiding. I'm in the Artist Protection Program. Changed my name and likeness.
You've been down in Florida?
Yeah, I've been in Florida. I got married in February.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. My first time.
Really?
Ever.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I had commitment issues.
I think you may have.
A little bit.
Well, Samantha? At least you realized that before you got married.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yeah.
a good, because yes. others are on their fourth or fifth by yours.
Oh,
that time.
No, my friend's on number six.
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes you got to wait for
yeah,
the right one.
I did. That's I held awesome. Out.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
First time we met, it was Trick Pony Days. I'm thinking, gosh, it might have been at the Wild Horse. Maybe.
Wow.
I know.
That's a long time ago.
I mean, what years are we talking?
We're talking like 96, 7?
Okay. I remember Rebel.
Rebel, that's yes. 96, 97, mm-hmm. after I got fired from Tanya Tucker for the third time.
How did you get fired from Tanya Tucker?
I used to be a mess.
Okay, well, that's a lot of people on Music
well,
Row, honey.
The band leader would fire me. She hired me right back. She thought I was funny. And so I stole.
I was going to say, you really had to do something to get fired.
I stole
her
limo, I think, in L.A. And took it for a 5-hour spin and missed my flight out of there. And I had a great time on Sunset.
Ira.
Yeah, I showed up and the whole band had already flown out. And I pull up in the limo and she's out front waiting for a limo. I'm like, hey, what's up? She goes, aren't you supposed to be on a plane?
Oh, gosh.
That's what I hear. And then I got the text, you're fired. And okay. She says, no, you're not. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, we should have Tanya call in and tell the story.
Tanya, you tell him I'm not fired.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that's when things started. How did you meet Heidi and Keith? How did that all come together?
Golly, that's so long ago. Keith was playing for Joe Diffie at the time. He was okay. Joe Diffie's bass player. I was Tanya Tucker's bass player.
Yeah.
And he came to me at Jamboree in the Hills. And I used to dress like Huggy Bear back in the day, for y'all that don't know. And he's like, man, we need to form a group. I got this idea. And he was real cowboy looking. Yeah. I'll dress like this and you're like that. And we find a chick singer. And I was like, this sounds like the Village People to me. All we need is like a telephone repairman and an Indian.
Perfect.
Yeah. And I was like, nah, it ain't my bag. And then I got fired from Tanya. And I called
again.
Him up. Yeah. And I was like, hey, you still want to do this thing?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So then Heidi was... I actually knew Heidi from her ex-boyfriend at the time, who was signed on Curb, and I used to play gigs with him. And then I guess Keith's ex-wife, at the time she wasn't an ex, they had a girl night, and Heidi was at the party and played a demo, and yada, yada, yada. The rest is history.
I love how big dysfunctional families get together. This is awesome. That's the country music family in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So-and-so's friends, ex-wife's cousin was playing.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh.
The mailman
amazing.
Dropped off a demo.
And I thought it sounded good.
I was like, who's this chick? Yeah.
But you've always been writing songs. You've always had a hand in music. We were just talking off camera. You really started loving music. How old were you when you
I was playing clubs when I was 12.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm. My dad, there was a talent contest at a bar. My mom and dad were divorced. And my dad came over in the middle of the night and said, my mom's name was Jean. Jean, I got to take Ira for a little bit. She's like, where? There's a talent contest up at the bar. So I went up there and played it. And I won. And then I ended up getting a gig. And then I played music with my brother. My brother was actually the talented one. I just made people laugh. He was like, I wanted to grow up to be like my brother. He was amazing. And my mom said, as long as it didn't affect my schoolwork, so I was underage, so she had to walk me in the club, and I would do my homework at the table in between on breaks. And I was failing out like crazy till I realized I could invite my teachers to the bars and then get them hammered. And that's what happened. I graduated a year early. I graduated as a junior and went on the road. Came back and did the cap and gown thing a year later.
You grew up in Raleigh, right?
Oh,
I grew
gosh.
Up in Raleigh. I was born in Raleigh. My dad got a job transfer up in Minneapolis.
Okay. Oh, wow.
The outskirts of Minneapolis. So I went to high school with all of Prince and the Revolution's little brothers and sisters.
Oh, wow.
Oh, how
and
fun.
So Des Dickerson, who is Prince's guitar player, had a 71 purple Cadillac, and he'd pull up, and they'd all be in the garb, the ruffled shirts, the whole bit, and they'd pick up their little brothers and sisters at our high school. And matter of fact, Des Dickerson lived on the same street as I did, and they would practice in the basement. And there was this old song called 777-9311. That was Dez's phone number. He had to change his phone number after that song came out. And my phone number, I can remember this. This is crazy. It was 777-5783. But we'd walk down the street. I did a show with Des Dickerson, like a charity thing,
yeah.
with Darius Rucker. And I was like, man, there was a guy in a purple Cadillac. And he's like, what high school? I said, North St. Paul. And he's like, that's where I went. I was picking up my little sister. And I was like, man, y'all used to practice at this house. And he's like, yeah, that was my house, 777-9311.
Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. That is too funny.
Yeah, so, yeah. Then I went to college in Southern Illinois, and I got thrown out of there. I was a jazz performance major. Went back to North Carolina. I was a maintenance man, got electrocuted, and then I was like, okay, I'm moving to Nashville.
You got electrocuted?
Yeah.
Have you written a book yet?
Nope.
all right, that needs to happen.
I can't remember much anymore because I got fried.
Was it like serious? Like
serious? Like
okay, it
like
wasn't
almost
just...
drowned. I was working on a water line underneath the hotel, Elizabethan Inn Hotel. I don't even know if it's still standing. It's in outside of Nag's Head, North Carolina. It's in Mania, North Carolina, on the beach. There was a water leak underneath. They had some little houses around there, and my boss said, crawl under there and see what's wrong with the water leak. I went under there, and it was full of water. And so I'm like up to laying on my back with just my head hanging out. And something stung me in the rear, and I thought I was a water moccasin. I was on the walkie-talkie. I said, something bit me. He goes, nothing bit you. Just go in there. Well, I didn't know it was the power line that was in there. And so as soon as I hit my wrench to the metal bottom of the tub to tighten up the thing, that was the I grounded out. Boom, knocked me out. I went underwater. The boss had to climb out of there, pull me out. And then I came to, and he's like, you got to go to the hospital. I was like, no, just put me in a, get me into my house so I can just sleep for a little bit. And I woke up and called my brother and said, look, let's get out of here. I don't want to work no more.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to play music. And me and my brother were down there playing beach music and stuff, making good money. So we moved to Nashville with $300.
Man, I love these stories. Mm-hmm. These are fantastic stories.
There's a songwriter named Chris Wall, and I was just telling him the story. I was like, I don't think I'd move. I look back on my life and like $300 and just pick up and move. I would never do that now. Matter of fact, my first job was in this hotel.
It was.
I was a bar back and a bartender at the Pickin' Parlor right around the corner. And then I ended up playing music at there used to be a place called The Stage. I don't know if it's still there, right across from the Pickin' Parlor.
Wow.
And I played out there with some of the Lone Star guys.
That is too funny.
Mm-hmm.
These are amazing stories.
Yeah. No. Seems like a lifetime ago. It probably is.
It really was.
Well, that memory could probably drink by now.
Let's jump to present day because there's a new song. We're going to play the video. We're going to play the song.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the title and all the backstory behind it.
Missing How It Used to Be.
Yeah.
It's a song I wrote with a buddy of mine named Dave Turnbull.
Love Dave.
I love him to death.
Yeah.
And my father passed in 07. My mom passed last year at March 14th, I believe. And me and Dave had to write shortly after that. And usually I write a bunch of up-tempo stuff, rock and stuff. And I'll be honest with you, I wish everybody had the relationship I had with my parents because they were awesome. Mm-hmm. We were great. And when my mom passed, it hit me hard. And me and Dave sat down and wrote this. You know, I had to get it out. I was missing her bad. And it just kind of all the memories growing up of, you know, we used to, you know, go ride the bikes and had to come home when the street lights came on. I can still hear my mom yelling out the back door.
Yeah.
And just I grew up in a great time. It was a small town and it was awesome.
Right.
And then it just all those little moments came back. So we wrote this and the label, I just signed a new deal and the label loved it. And they're like, would you mind if we release this on Mother's Day? And I was like, that's perfect because it's one day before my mom's birthday.
Hmm. Oh, that's so good.
Is this your mom's voice we'll hear at the beginning
of
the video?
Yeah, my mom's in the video. She's wearing a sombrero. That was her last birthday. She passed away 10 months after that.
Oh, wow.
And that's my dad playing guitar in it, and that's my wife at the end, and that's my daughter, and that's my grandkids, and that's
everything.
Oh, you know.
This is so good.
I know I don't look like a grandpa. They got a hip grandpa.
Yeah, they do.
They're too young to know, but they don't know how good they got it.
More Coffee, Country, and Cody is on WSM.
I radio show. Y'all read that stuff.
Iredeen, we're back. You have a radio show. Take it away. Ready?
No, I can't read.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. I'm dyslexic. It's horrible. I'd still be on the first line.
Well, we can't sing or play. So,
we balance
each other out nicely.
It is funny. Whenever we talk about somebody who is doing music and is a songwriter or an artist and all of a sudden they're hosting something, I'm like, whoa. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane. I'm looking at you, Lindsay L., because they come after our spots, and I'm like, you don't see me putting out an album?
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, maybe one day we're working on something.
We do have a duets
Clark
project in
me.
The
oh, really?
Yeah. Because
let's dive into that.
Let's dive into that.
Okay.
Because ACMs are right around the corner.
Sure.
And we won the ACM in I got an ACM from 2003. I'm getting ancient.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
You're just hitting your stride.
I know. I'm in my prime, people.
Yeah, you are.
But I couldn't read out loud.
And so we go,
and this happened a lot. So we go the day before, and you're supposed to read the cue cards, and they always write the stupidest jokes.
Of course.
And they're horrible. And I get through that.
You know who did most of those jokes?
Who?
Jerry House. Sorry. Jerry House was writing most of those jokes. I hope he's not listening.
I don't think I knew that. Oh, that's
right. Oh, yeah. House used to help with all of the, especially the monologues. I don't know so much about the rest of the show.
I'm sure Jerry House's were great, but the ones they gave me were horrible.
Sure.
And so I would choke my way through it, and I would tell Heidi when we left. She knew after the first time, but I'd say, I'm going to tap you when you come in. I got the gist of it, and I'll just make it up. And so that's what we did every time we were on the awards.
Really?
I'd tap her when it's time to come in, and Dick Clark would get so mad. He put a red light out there to flash at me, and he goes, "Why can't you just read the cue cards?" I said, "I'm dyslexic." "You didn't find him rehearsals." He had a Pittsburgh accent off TV, but on TV, never knew it.
That's hilarious.
He's like, "Are you going to read the cue cards tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it."
Maybe.
And then I just make it up. Reba laughs. She's like, "Oh, God. One day we're going to host this thing together."
She's hosting again. Solo. 17th time she's doing it.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy?
I love her.
I do, too. We were talking off camera about how close you were with the Cash family.
Yeah.
With Johnny and June. How did you meet them? How did that happen?
I moved here in 1990. And I was underage, and I got a gig at the Bell Cove Club in Hendersonville
for
$30 a night and all the beer I could drink. And it was awesome. They're closed now. I can tell on them.
Statute of limitations.
They can't lose their liquor license now.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I had a band there. Well, I did a solo thing. And then this redheaded kid about my age came in, and we put a band together, and it was John Carter Cash. And
really?
Yeah, and he knew I was broke as a joke. I was paying $200 a month for a couch. I was driving a Chevette with no floorboard in it. And in the wintertime here, it'd get freezing, and it had no heat. So I'd take a milk jug and fill it up with water and put it in the microwave and stick it in my lap and drive where I needed to go. I was that broke. I was broke as a joke. And he said, "Man, you know, he was one who, I was getting ready to beg for my job back in North Carolina." And he said, "You need to stick around." And invited me over for lunch, and I never left. And then me and John and June just became tight. We were tight.
Aww.
And me and John, I got to open up shows for John. I got to sing on one of two songs. I sang backgrounds with the Carter family when I was 19, I think. I was in the studio. I was stealing the catering from the studio. He knew me by then this time because I'd been staying at his house. And he came out, and I had a tuna fish sandwich with a crust cut off and a chicken wing. And I got embarrassed because he caught me. And he just started talking out of nervous energy. I said, "Well, when are we going to record together? When are we going to write a song or something?" He goes, "Well, how about no?" And he picked me up by my arms, walked me in, and there's the Carter family at the microphone doing backgrounds. And he moved Anita and June aside, and he put me in there. I was holding a sandwich and a chicken wing.
Oh,
he said,
Lord.
"June, show Ira his parts." And I sang on the remake of Put It in God's Hands and another song called the remake of Don't Take Your Guns to Town, and then a new song called Put It in God's Hands.
Wow.
That was in 91.
How amazing is that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's very cool.
And then he was just, he pitched my songs, even when they were horrible. I remember calling Alan Jackson at his house to send a song of mine over. And now looking back, that song was so bad.
Oh.
And it was terrible, but I just got to spend some Christmases with him in Jamaica up in Cinnamon Hill at Johnny and June's place.
Yeah.
And that's where I ended up getting married.
That was so cool.
The only place I ever saw unconditional love. Those two loved each other.
Yeah. Mm.
And absolutely. I need all the help I get. I told my wife, she goes, "Where do you want to get married?" And I said, "I know where unconditional love lives, and we need all the help we can get. Let's get married there."
That's so cool. Mm. That's amazing. I know you've been through a lot. We've known each other for a long time.
There's been some ups and downs.
There were some demons.
Yeah.
At what point did you say, "Okay, enough is enough. I'm putting all of that beside. It's going to the wayside." And
I said it 100 times. I tried. I tried and I tried.
I know.
My dad suddenly passed November 7 of 07 on BMI night.
Oh, wow.
And he made me go to the BMIs because I was getting an award for Gary Allen's A Feeling Like That. I wrote that. And I came back home. I bought him the house across the street from mine. So we'd always be close. I love that man. And I found him passed away the next morning. I was going to go show him my award. And I imploded. I imploded. Mm-hmm. I was sober at the time. Somewhat, and I kind of climbed in a whiskey bottle for a few years, and that's when I said enough's enough. I hit bottom. I didn't want to be me no more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Of all people that helped me, it was Eddie Montgomery that really? Got me out of there and start writing. He's like, get out here to Kentucky and just get away. And that's kind of what started. Me and him tied one on a lot out there. And then when I left his place, I was done. I just couldn't do it no more.
Yeah. You know what? The thing is, the reoccurring theme is how many people love you and how many people pour into you and how many people believe in you. You have these collaborations, man.
It's a humbling experience because I thought, you know, I let a lot of people down in this town when I relapsed, you know. I was on the wagon or under the wheels all my whole life. And when I got ready to make this record, when I got called by Noah Gordon to make a record, it all started from, I was writing with Ronnie Dunn. I played him this song I had cut with Vince Gill and John Osborne from Brother Osborne. And he's like, why didn't you ask me to sing on this? And I was like, because you're busy. And he goes, no, I want the second verse and second chorus. And I was like, okay. So he sang that. And then me and Gary Allen were writing, and we wrote this great song. And I was like, man, I want to cut this for my record. You want to sing it with me? He's like, yeah. And they just kept evolving. I called Uncle Cracker. And he's like, yeah. And I called Gretchen Wilson. And she's like, of course. And it just kept evolving. Called Ted Nugent. I was like, I wrote this song. I'd love you to put a solo on it. Well, come down to Waco. Let's do it. And David Lee Murphy, who me and David have known each other since 2000.
Yeah.
Waylon introduced me and David, believe it or not. Who else is on there? I mean, there's so many people on this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of it. It's finally, I made a record that I'm proud of. It's taken me a long time. You know, I've been in town since 90.
Yeah.
It's taken a long time for me to actually, we were talking about this earlier. Every place after Trick Pony broke up, I'd get a record deal and then the record label would close. I was like, I'd close them down.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want to end your label, sign me. And so I told Noah that before he signed me. I was like, Noah, you know, I got a long history of closing record labels down. So. And it's a great record, and I'm in a way better place, and I just got married, and I got a beautiful, beautiful supporting wife.
That's
and
so good.
My first time ever being married, and I wish I would have met her. No, she wouldn't have had nothing to do with me back then. But
timing is everything.
Yeah, but it's humbling. It's been a humble experience making this record and making it with my friends. And the support and love I've gotten out of this town, a lot of it I didn't deserve, as many times I let people down, but it's been years and years and years and years and years now that my horns haven't grown, so I'm happy.
Oh, that's so good. So album's going to be coming out in a couple months.
Yeah.
How can people keep up with you? Where can they find you? What's the easiest way?
I'm on
way?
All the social media stuff and Instagram. Look for the little blue dot because there's, of all the things, people impersonate me. I'm like, if you're going to impersonate somebody.
I know,
like,
I know.
Go
right?
after Luke Combs or somebody. I was like, why me? And so Iredine Bass, I think, is
yeah,
my Instagram.
I was gonna say,
and
I think you're based on Instagram.
There's an Iredine Facebook fan thing. You can jump on there. And I'll be out writing and playing and doing shows and all that stuff. I think I'm going out with Brooks and Dunn on their tour to just write with Ronnie.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
And then I think we're doing a, not me and Brooks and Dunn, but there's a tour coming up. They're trying to book me for a fall tour on this other thing. So
awesome.
To support the album.
That's so good. We're going to throw it back, though. We're going to do Nothing to Do Around Here. Right?
Oh,
is this
goodness.
One?
Yeah.
This is.
You talk about some famous friends
I mean,
on this one.
Yeah, it was Ronnie Millsap, Leroy Parnell, Montgomery Gentry. Who else is on
Colt
this?
Colt Ford's on there.
Jeffrey Steele?
Jeffrey Steele.
Holy
Me and
cow.
Jeff wrote this. And I always had a dream of, I wanted to do a band like the Traveling Wilburys,
yeah.
but a country where we all played on stuff. And this was it was me, Leroy Parnell, and Ronnie Millsap. I was like, okay. That's a good band so far. And then this is kind of, and then it went off the tracks. And I was like, I just started calling everybody. Let's all just make a party out of it. And so Eddie and T-Roy came in and sang, you know.
Aww.
So I, you know, it's hard to believe T-Roy's gone then, but
know.
At least we had this great, we had a lot of great moments, but one that, you know, everybody can be part of and listen to.
Yeah.
If I ever croak.
Let's talk about everything that's going down in entertainment headlines. It is a marathon of bars here. Now, if you are keeping track at home, and I don't know that you are, but we have currently Ole Red, that's Blake Shelton, Whiskey Row, that's Dierks Bentley, Luke's 32 Bridge Bar, that is Luke Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
We are about to have Luke Combs, who will be opening Category 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happening later this year. Who else do we have? We have AJ's Good Time Bar, so it's Alan Jackson.
Right.
He's still got his place there.
Did you get Redneck Riviera?
Redneck Riviera is in there. John Rich.
Yeah.
We have Casa Rosa.
You said Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Yes.
Casa Rosa is Miranda. Chiefs is Eric Church. Am I missing?
It's crazy. You got Garth, right?
Oh, Garth. Friends in Low Places.
Oh, please don't.
I'm sorry, Garth. Sorry. Garth is there. And then we had FGL House.
Right.
But now we're down.
Right. Because we had FGL. And now
we've
got no more FGL.
We don't have no FGL. We don't have no FGL House. It actually closed randomly last week, which I didn't even know was happening. But now the new scuttlebutt is Lainey Wilson might be taking over what was formerly known as FGL House. It's located on 3rd Avenue. It was opened back in 2017. I do remember it was kind of one of the first outside of, what was the major bars. It was one of the first ones, FGL House. 2017, it opened. It has closed. And now people are saying that Lainey Wilson will be in talks with TC Restaurant Group. To have it bear her name. If that happens, she'll be the second female to have a freestanding establishment. Third overall, if you count Tanya Tucker, because she's doing a pop-up bar that's inside Nudie's called Tanya Tucker's Tequila Cantina. So, and I've been watching people online. They said, what about Tootsie's? And I'm like, well, Tootsie's is actually owned by a man. Steve.
Yes.
It's not owned by Tootsie. Yes. Layla's, maybe. Which I don't know if Layla's is actually owned by a female or if it's, again, one of those. But, it'll be very interesting to see if that happens. Morgan Wallen, on the other hand, does have an opening date already for his bar. That one is going to be called This Bar. Not to be confused with That Bar or The Other Bar. Which, honestly, if that doesn't happen, it is such a missed opportunity. It's going to be opening 4th Avenue, just behind the Ryman. So if you walk the alleyway in between the Ryman and the Honky Tonks, and you come to the end of the alleyway at 4th Avenue, that corner, that's where he's going
to
be.
Where there used to be like 8 parking spaces.
Right.
It's not a big, so you can go up high, but
tall
it's
and
not,
skinny.
Yes, exactly.
Going to be a tall and skinny. Yep. And not to be outdone, Old Dominion has their place opening as well. That's coming up later. They shared some pictures. Still looks like it's going to be a while because it's framed. But it's Odie's. O-D-I-E-S. So, got a lot of bars to hang out in if you're coming to Nashville. Stay with us. We've got more. We'll run down the list of who's playing at the Grand Ole Opry tonight when we come back on Coffee Country and Cody.
425-4400.
Thank you for hanging out with us this morning. Again, thank you to Megan Barker. We encored her in studio with us. Our friend Ira Dean stopped by. Love seeing him. New music, all the good things happening for him. And I'll be catching up with him down in Texas for the ACM Awards.
Boy, he's got stories to tell, and he can tell a story.
I love hearing his stories. He's got amazing stories to tell. If you're going to be hanging out with us tonight at the Grand Ole Opry, we got a lineup for you that's pretty spectacular. Riders in the Sky, Frank Ray, Craig Morgan's going to be there, Charlie McCoy, Ashley McBride, Henry Cho, and Lady A. And we will see you back here tomorrow morning. Have a good one, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.